Let us unite in prayer. God, be gracious unto us and bless us, and cause thy face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth and thy saving health among all nations. Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. Let all of us join in the voice of praise, the voice of praise of thy family on earth and in heaven. And let our worship be our witness, until the earth shall be filled with thy knowledge and glory, as the waters cover the sea. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our hymn is number 452, Heralds of Christ. Necessary this morning to make an announcement that has to do with the chapel services for tomorrow and Thursday. The Foreign Mission Board is making a motion picture that requires a chapel sequence that must be photographed as a missionary day service. Your help is urgently needed on Wednesday and Thursday during chapel services to make it possible for the photography to simulate a missionary day service. It will be most helpful if students will wear dress clothes for these two chapels. For men students, this would mean coat and tie. I wouldn't dare suggest what it means for the lady student. Every effort is being made not to disrupt chapel services and seminary routine any more than is absolutely necessary for the making of this picture. We certainly wish to urge that you give full cooperation for these two chapel services, and I personally would hope that all of you who are here this morning, of course that may not be possible, but all of you who possibly can be present for tomorrow and next day. Now a word about our program of worship which follows. Our scripture reading and prayer will be led by Professor William Shinto. And after this, our men's choir will sing Prayer to Jesus by Richard DeCaster. And then there will be testimonies by missionary appointees, foreign missionary appointees from our student body who have been appointed to foreign missionary service during this school year. They will be presented by Mr. James G. Sturtz, who is Associate Secretary for Missionary Personnel of the Foreign Mission Board and who has had a great deal to do with the process of the appointment of these four who will speak. So now Mr. Shinto will read our scripture and lead our prayer.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from the fourth chapter of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Let us pray. Grant unto us, Almighty God, thy peace that passes all understanding, that we amid the storms of this our life may rest in thee, knowing that all things are in thee, under thy care, governed by thy will, guarded by thy love, so that with a quiet heart we might ever trust him, our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to this hour to dedicate ourselves to thy holy mission, to preach the unsearchable riches of our Lord amidst a shattered world of spiritual poverty. Bless with thy presence, O God, these who shall go forth to the ends of the earth. May thy grace and our love ever strengthen them. So help us all, Lord, to journey our days with thee, and love thee more each day because thou art to us the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
I consider myself very fortunate indeed to have a part in this Missionary Day service. And if I commit the sin of paternalism today, I hope you'll feel it somewhat justified in that I've had a very great pleasure in personally working with these appointees who shall come today to share with you the manner in which God's high calling has come to them and the way in which they have sought to respond to that high calling. Coming first will be Reverend and Mrs. Harris Mobley of Georgia. Harris, a native of Liberty County, Georgia, attended Mercer University and then Southeastern Seminary. While in college, he pastored the Ohoopee Baptist Church in Ohoopee, Georgia, and now is serving as pastor of the Trinity Baptist Church, Goldsboro, North Carolina. Vivian is a native of Statesboro, Georgia. She attended classes at Mercer and has been taking the certificate course here at Southeastern Seminary. Not too long ago, they first approached us about their concern for missions, and in the last 2 years have moved along rapidly through the appointment procedure, and at the March meeting of the Foreign Mission Board were appointed to serve in Ghana. Harris will do the work of a general field evangelist. Vivian will go as a missionary homemaker. Following them, Mr. Jim Payne will come to speak to us, to share out of his heart God's leading in his life. Jim is a native of Scottsville, Virginia. Just a year ago this month, I believe it was, he made his first contact with us there in Richmond. He was serving in an architectural firm in Bristol, Virginia. He read a training union magazine, you preachers who wonder sometimes about the necessity of that Sunday evening service. In training union, he read in a quarterly where there was a need for laymen in this field of architecture, and he approached us to ask us about it. He moved ahead by faith in the procedure. We could not give him a great deal of assurance at that time because we were not sure just what would be open in this next year. But he left a good job there in Bristol to come here to Southeastern Seminary. And he has completed 1 year of work. At the March meeting of the Foreign Mission Board, he was appointed to serve as our builder and architect in the country of Nigeria. Following him will come Dr. Lewis Smith of Eatonton, Georgia. We wish that his good wife, Shirley, who was also appointed with him, could be here today, but she is unable to be with us. Lewis is a graduate of Mercer University. Following his graduation from Mercer, he went to Southern Seminary for 1 year prior to entering medical school. He then entered the University of Georgia Medical School at Augusta, and following graduation from medical school, did a stint of service in Tripoli, the United States Air Force, as a doctor. When he came home, he and his wife returned to Macon, where he served as a resident in the Macon Hospital, and he came then from that residency here to Southeastern for 1 more year of seminary work. He's also been connected with the State Hospital in Raleigh, here while a student at Southeastern Seminary. Lewis and his wife have been appointed to serve in Hong Kong, where we have purchased the ground and will soon be building our new hospital there in Hong Kong. We at the Foreign Mission Board feel that these young people represent the finest, the way of dedication of young people all across this denomination, and we'll be praying for them as they seek to share with us the way God has led.
I was reared in a nominal Christian home. It was a home in which the love of God was not stressed, but a home in which the perfection of humanity was stressed. I attended church, and I believed in God. But because of my parents' belief, I was not permitted to attend Sunday school and the different organizations of the church as a youngster. It was not until 1951 that I realized that God loved me and he wanted me to accept his love. It was then that I did accept his love, and I joined the Calvary Baptist Church in Savannah, Georgia. And there, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and under dedicated and consecrated Sunday school teachers and leaders, I began to grow in my Christian experience. And then in the summer of 1954, Harris and I attended Foreign Missions Week at Ridgecrest. There, during that week, I saw missions in a new light, and I saw my place in the mission work of the world. And there, the night before, on the last night of the meeting, as Dr. Cawthon gave the invitation to those to come forward who felt that God were speaking to them to go to the foreign mission field, I felt as if he were talking directly to me. But for some reason, I didn't respond. As we went back to our small church in South Georgia, I tried to push this out of my mind. But for some reason, I could not. And there, as we made preparation to come to the seminary, I still could not forget this invitation. We came to the seminary, and it was here, after I entered school, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and under the influence of professors, Missionary Day, and missionary appointees that I came to know, it was here that I made my decision and said that I would go if God wanted me to go. As I look back over my call to the mission field, I realize that I have not had a jolting experience or a blinding experience such as Paul had on the road to Damascus. But I think that my call has been a gradual process, beginning first at Ridgecrest, when I saw the needs of the world, and ending when I finally said, yes, I will go. I'm willing to go. As I look back over my life, I believe that God, the Spirit of God, has led my life. And as I look ahead, I believe that His will for my life is a life of service in Ghana, West Africa.
At the outset, let me admit my inadequacy to accurately express all of the events which probably have gone into my decision to go abroad to witness. However, I believe the story would properly begin in the fall of 1950, after having been recalled to active duty with the Marines. One Friday afternoon, we were traveling in a car, six of us, going from North Carolina back to Georgia. The driver of the automobile was going about 100 miles an hour, and we could not stop him. We were making frequent stops, as jovial and rowdy Marines are accustomed to do, and there was much joy in the car. But as I sat in the back seat, it suddenly came to my mind that the car was going to overturn and that I would have my life snuffed out, and what had I accomplished? So very silently, I recall closing my eyes and saying, God save me and I'm yours. The boy slowed down. That night around midnight, as I stepped out of the car in Savannah and walked along the darkened street to our apartment to see Vivian, I could not get away from the fact that I existed because God had saved me. And down through the weeks and months that followed, I came to realize more and more that I had given my life to God. This sounds real simple, I know, but the real point of it all is that it means more to me every day. I think that was properly the beginning of our going to serve overseas. Because after having served in two rural churches and finding that there were a great deal of preachers to serve these churches who were willing to do so, and after having heard some of my professors here express the needs abroad, it suddenly dawned upon me that if I were God's, then I should think that God could properly use me more effectively abroad. Hence our decision to go abroad where seemingly the need was greater. Now, in being here today and speaking from my heart, I do not wish to perpetuate the distinction of missionary idolatry or the distinction between pastor and missionary. We've had enough of that. I believe the real question is revolving on those of you who are serving churches here, because down through the months that lie ahead and years, the effectiveness of our work in Ghana will be increasingly dependent upon your witness here. How well our churches become Christian here in the South will determine the degree of Christian witness we make to the Negro peoples of Africa, as well as the Asians and those in the Near East. And so I feel that you pastors here should have an opportunity to express yourselves as I have today.
But I am thankful to God that we're going to Ghana, and I've never felt more in the will of God, because I'm certain there are 50 churches there that I'll be able to tell the good news of God with, whereas here I probably would have to meet a little competition to serve either, even in one church. And so today I close by saying that if you feel too that you are God's, then I'd ask you to search your heart and see if God could not possibly use you abroad more effectively than he could use you here.
God is love. I thank God that he loved me enough to let me be born into a Christian family that saw to it that I went to church every Sunday. And I thank God that he loved me enough for Christian friends who told me about the gospel. And I thank God that he loved me enough to send Jesus Christ. And I thank God that he loved me enough that the Holy Spirit should touch my heart and change my life. After I graduated from high school, it was decided that I would be an architect. So I went to college and studied architecture. After graduating from college, I went into the Army. You know, I think it was in the service that I realized that I had not been taking an active part in the church. So after I was discharged from the Army, I began to take a more active part in the church. But still, one day I felt that there was something else that God wanted me to do. So I got down on my knees and I prayed to God, "God, I'm willing to do anything or go anywhere that you would have me to go." But being an architect, I didn't know exactly what it was that God wanted me to do. As time went on, this call became closer and closer, until one day I even grew mad at God because he wouldn't tell me what to do. And I pleaded with God that either he would let me alone or tell me what to do. But still, he didn't tell me what to do until about 2 years later, when I read in the Training Union Quarterly that there was a need for architects on the mission field. And since that time, I have been trying to meet that need. As we were being appointed in March, and I sat there listening to the testimonies of the other people being appointed, I liked what the English woman said who had lived in Africa. She said, "When I went to Africa, that I grew to love the African people. And I too hope that when I go to Africa, that I too can say that I have grown to love the African people."
When I was in the fourth grade, I decided that being a missionary was just about the best thing that anybody could do, and so that's what I would be. When I was 12 years old, I felt that I was old enough then to know what it meant to join the church, and I believed everything that the preacher said I had to believe, and so I joined the church. When I went to college, I found that things weren't decided quite that easily. I found that I had a lot of questions I couldn't answer. This was a pretty miserable situation. I was pretty lonely. I just was filled with my doubt. I think I was pretty hard to get along with. And for about 2 or 3 years, I lived in just as bad a condition as I could think of, because I didn't believe in anything. And I felt like that there was something there to believe in. One night after a youth revival, I was walking through the streets of Macon, looking for God, and he found me. It's hard to explain exactly how I felt. I'm just now learning some of the meaning of this experience. I can say, though, that up until this time, I had felt completely empty, and that night I was filled full. And I seemed to feel that God did love me, and that I would never be alone again. This feeling has continued. It has continued to be a feeling that God has been guiding me and that he had a purpose for me. Again, I began to think of the mission call, and really this experience was a mission call because I couldn't conceive of being a Christian without being a missionary. I felt that if I knew that Christ had done what I had heard about, and when I felt that his love was meant for me, then I must do everything I could for him. And so I set about preparing to be a missionary. I felt that I would be most effective as a doctor, and so I studied medicine. I went through to Southern for a year. I went through med school. I interned. I went in the Air Force. I came back and I wrote the mission board. I had been corresponding with them for quite some time. And I said, okay, I'm ready. I've gotten through all my work. This is it. So then I started to talk to several members of the personnel committee. And they started asking a few questions like, why do you want to go? And what are you going to do when you get there? And what does Christ mean to you? And why did he die? And I didn't know the answers. It had never really seemed very important because I had been content to bask in this experience that I had had and had continued to have. And yet, whenever I left a member of the personnel committee, they went off shaking their head, and I felt that I would never get appointed as a missionary. I'm not by nature very humble. In fact, when I get humble, I'm even proud of my humility. But this was an humbling experience. But I thought I would take advantage of it too, and I'd just quit this mission racket because there were a lot of things I felt I would enjoy doing. But this wasn't so easy either. I was faced with the mission call everywhere I turned, and I was only happy when I was thinking about it. I realized for the first time that God was really calling me, that I was not just calling myself. I realized that this religious experience wasn't just a one-time thing, but it was something that should continue and that should mature as I matured, but that I had not allowed it to do so. With the help of a lot of friends, with the personnel committee encouraging me, and with reading the Bible and praying for God's guidance, I was able to learn a lot more about God and about what missions really meant, and became convinced that truly this was God's will for me. This was a wonderful feeling, and this year has been a great part of this experience. And talking with various ones of you, with some of my professors here, I have been convinced even more. I haven't answered all of my questions, but I have gained a lot of tools to work on them. At Richmond in March, it seemed like a great climax of this trip toward being a missionary. And it was a very high experience for all of us. But the thing that I keep thinking when I stand before you and talk is that when I was at the seminary in Louisville 10 years ago, I was looking forward to this moment. And at the time, wasn't thinking of using myself at all. And as a result, about half my life is gone. And yet, I can't feel that I've really ever done anything for God except to prepare myself. I think this is a very great mistake because God can use us now. And since I have understood this, God has begun to use me. And this is the greatest feeling in the world, to be in God's will and to know that you can serve him.
We have had another couple from this seminary appointed during the school year, but of course it's impossible for them to be here because they have already gone abroad to their field of service. I'm speaking of Mr. and Mrs. Virgil Moorfield, who left, I believe, in January for Italy, where they are serving. It's also true that we have another student who was with us last year and the first semester of this year, who will be appointed next month. That is Miss Elaine Hancock, who is trained as a nurse. It would be fine if these could be with us. I would also give recognition to the fact that We have a couple studying with us this year who were already appointed before they came here and are taking a year, have been taking a year as further preparation for their work. Dr. and Mrs. L.C. Smith, who will be serving in Nigeria. Dr. Smith is a medical doctor. We also have missionaries on the campus. Most of them, I believe, could not be with us this morning because of responsibilities connected with the movie which is being shot. And we also have students who represent our World Christian Enterprise in a very fine way. As you know, students from other lands, Mr. Harold Shally from Brazil, Miss Pansy Harada from Japan, and Miss Susanna Van from China, presently from Hong Kong. It has already been pointed out in one of the missionary testimonies that we do not wish to make onerous distinctions between those, for instance, who are in the pastorate here and those who are serving as missionaries abroad. It has been a conviction that we have held to rather consistently, I think, here at Southeastern, that Christian vocation itself is unreserved commitment to Christ as Lord, and that any phase of the ministry is to be a ministry in the will of God and under His sovereignty, and that there is no position higher than for one to be in the will of God. And so when I indicate, as I am about to do, that we're going to give an invitation this morning for those who will manifest publicly their call to some missionary ministry, whether it be home missions or foreign missions, I wanted to preface what I was saying by these remarks. For someone to come in response to such an invitation by no means implies that he has come to a higher level of dedication than someone who cannot honestly respond to such an invitation. We trust that we all are in the will of God, and nobody can be promoted from that. However, I think it is of great value that we sometimes give public expression to a special call that has come to us. It no doubt was of great value to you to make such a public manifestation of your experience when you were called to the ministry. And there are many reasons which I would not take time to indicate this morning, which I think you will recognize, why there is value in making public commitment of a call to missionary service. And I hope that these will be very serious and prayerful moments as we enter this invitation. It could be that even now, in this service, there has come to focus and to climax a growing experience that some of you have had this year, or even from previously, in which you have been discovering the will of God in terms of missionary service. I do not believe it would be necessary for us to invite those to come who already in this seminary have made public manifestation of their call to a missionary ministry. We have given invitations before. If you responded to one of those invitations to indicate your missionary call, I don't think it would be necessary for you to come again. If you wish to, of course, that's quite all right. But those of you who here on this campus have made no public expression of your call to missionary service, home or abroad, but have actually come to an experience of that call, we're going to invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation. And I'm going to ask these new appointees to come down from the platform and stand here in front, facing the congregation, and that those of you who wish to respond and feel that the Spirit leads you to respond to this invitation will come and take your places with them. Come to the front and stand here facing the congregation. And then after the invitation, we will have a prayer of consecration and benediction led by Dr. Coker. Our invitation hymn is number 386, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. And when you come, if the Spirit indicates that you should come on this invitation.
And God of glory, we turn to Thee in these holy moments to reaffirm our faith in Thee and to rededicate ourselves to the covenant which we know in Jesus Christ. O Holy Father, as we come in these moments of decision and rededication on the part of all of us, we pray, O God, that Thou wilt grant that these who have declared their faith here may know the presence of thy Holy Spirit, that he will lead them to declare the truth and light of thy gospel wherever they may serve, and that they may find, O Father, an assurance and a wisdom and a strength for the tasks that lie ahead of them. And grant, O Father, that those of us who remain here may share this sense of mission, this depth of devotion, and this declaration of faith, that we may find equally available the leadership of thy Holy Spirit, that in our ministries and the ministries of our churches, we may be bound together in the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. Join us together, O God, as disciple to disciple, as church to church, as Christian denomination to Christian denomination, that we may so proclaim the gospel to those who are without until they come to know our Lord and we are brought face to face with thee. In Jesus' name we pray.